Well, good morning again. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you. So good to be here with you today as we celebrate really what is the greatest event in the history of the world. You may not have thought about it that way, but it is the resurrection of God's Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The fact that he has risen changes everything. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, today I'm going to talk to you about one of the I am statements that Jesus said. You can find these if you search them up on the internet, particularly in the Gospel of John. Seven times Jesus said, in the Greek, ego eimi, but it means I am. And it's not just a subject and verb, kind of like, you know, I am hungry, or I am tired, or I am warm, or I am thirsty, or I am tired of Pastor Augie making all these examples. It's not like that. It's I am in ontological terms. That is having to do with his very essence, his very nature, who he is, his identity. And so seven different times in John, he uses this expression, ego eimi, I am, and then he gives an expression of what he is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. I am the bread of life. He who eats of this bread will never hunger. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. I am the vine. Remain in me, and you will bear much fruit. And then what I want to talk about today is this very bold statement that Jesus makes in front of the tomb of a dead man when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. This is our kind of our memory verse and our focus verse for this morning. So let's all read this out loud together, what's on the screen. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. So what is resurrection? I just want to say at the outset, this is not to be confused with reincarnation. That's an entirely different theology, and if you're confused about that, see me after class. But we're talking about resurrection. We're talking about when something was dead is brought back to life. And for those Princess Bride fans, I'm not talking about only mostly dead, but all dead. Dead, brought back to life. And when Jesus said those words, I am the resurrection and the life, he said it in the context of a very dead man named Lazarus, had been in the tomb for 4 days. And so we're going to look at his story in depth this morning. You have a sermon notes. It's got a lot of the verses printed out for you and some blanks that you can fill in. It starts right out in John chapter 11 at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick, so sick he's going to die from this illness. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Maybe you're here this morning and you have gotten this kind of news too. Someone you love is sick. Someone close to you maybe has a terminal illness. Or that relationship that you was once vibrant is now cold. That job that you loved is going away. You've got bad news. You're bracing for the worst, and you, in your mind, you only see it going one way. There is only bad news, nothing good, but not Jesus. What he says after this, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. In other words, this very thing that you would hope and pray never happens is going to actually bring glory to God. This difficult thing, this bad news, is going to be a way that God is going to glorify himself. So that sets the stage. We're going to skip over a section of John 11. What happens in that section, what doesn't happen in that section, is Jesus doesn't go. He gets the news that Lazarus is sick, and he stays a couple more days. And what he actually says then after that, he finally tells his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to go and wake him up. And the disciples said, well, then Jesus, if he's sleeping, that's good. He's going to get well, right? I mean, sleep is restorative. And then I like how the Bible says Jesus clarified. He told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. All right. He made it very clear. Lazarus is dead, but I'm going to go and wake him up. So what we're going to talk about this morning, I want to look at three different characters that we see in the story that follows. One of the disciples, Thomas, and then Lazarus's two sisters, Mary and Martha. We're going to see three different ways that you could say they hit a dead end in their faith. It was over for them. And we're going to see how God worked through them and how he showed them life in the face of their dead end. And maybe you'll find yourself in one of these dead ends this morning. The first one is the Apostle Thomas, dead in his doubt. You may find yourself this way. You may be able to relate to Thomas's doubting as well. He was kind of known as being Doubting Thomas. We read in verse 16, then Thomas, also known as Didymus, another name for him, it means twin, said to the rest of the disciples, let's also go that we may die with him. So not only was Thomas doubtful, but I think he was a bit dramatic here when he says that we may die with him. I don't know exactly what he had in mind when he said that. Could have been the fact that, well, something is killing people where Lazarus lives. You know, maybe it's a virus or something. Let's go there where people are dying. More than likely, he's making a reference to the fact that the people in Judea were trying to kill Jesus. They wanted to kill him. And so they even look at him and say, why do you want to go back there? This is dangerous. So it might be that Thomas is saying, well, let's just go there and we'll die with Jesus. But either way, Thomas doubts so much, he doubts that anything good is going to come out of this time with Jesus. And I'm just curious, how many of you here on this Easter morning would be willing to admit, by show of hands, that you have had doubts at some point, spiritual doubts at some point in your life? Would you admit that? Okay. Those of you who aren't raising your hand, I doubt you're being honest. But the point is, I think we all have had something that causes us doubt. Something doesn't turn out the way we expected. Things are looking grim, and we become a little Thomas-like. Sometimes it's more significant. It's not just your outlook is doubtful, but something may have actually shaken your faith. You have a college professor tries to really make the case for the fact that the Bible is not real, and that shakes your faith a little bit. Or you've been praying and praying and praying for something, and it's just not happening. Or maybe even the opposite is happening, and that raises your doubts. Or maybe you just look around at all the trouble and the pain and the suffering that's in the world, and that can cause your doubts to raise up, and you can become like Thomas, a little dead in your doubts. That's one dead end we see in this story in John chapter 11. The other is you can be dead in your discouragement, like Mary, Lazarus' sister Mary. Not dead in doubt, but dead in discouragement. We see in verse 20 that when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. It's possible that she hadn't heard the news yet. It's possible she just didn't want to get there and have to wait. I don't know, but it's also very possible that she's so discouraged that she just didn't want to get up. She's so disappointed. Maybe you've been at this point in your life. You're simply stuck. You can't change anything. Stuff has gone south. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm always going to be alone. I'm always going to be depressed. I'm always going to be stuck in this situation. You may even be here this morning and you're kind of going through the motions. You have a smile on your face. You put it on when you put on your Easter clothes. But deep down inside, you're facing discouragement, and you can be dead in this discouragement. It puts to death something in you. So we see that also in this story. And then we see Martha, Lazarus' sister. She was dead in the delay. The point is, God took too long. Jesus should have come back earlier, but he didn't. So what happens is, we read, that on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for how long? 4 days. That's a long time. So much so that a little bit later in the story, Jesus asks the people there to move to roll the stone away from the tomb. And Martha kind of jumps in and she basically says, it's been 4 days. Surely there's going to be an odor. That's the New International Version. I love the King James. It says, he stinketh. And, you know, a stink by any other name is still a stink. But it just, you know, maybe sounds a little better that way. But that's not so much the point as what Martha says next. She really tells Jesus what's on her mind. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. You took too long. Why didn't you come when you could have done something about it? Why didn't you come when we sent word? And some of you, I think, here this morning can really relate to that. You're dead in the delay. You're waiting on something. You're waiting on some answer, some desired outcome. It's taking too long. Maybe you're waiting for that special someone. Maybe you're waiting to have a child. Maybe you're praying for someone to come to the Lord, and it seems like the longer you pray, the further they get away. And you are doing this because you know that you have a God who says all things are possible. And so you're praying and you're praying, but God isn't doing anything, and you feel dead in the delay. If that's you today, I want you to hear this. Maybe there's not a blank for this in your notes. You may just want to write it down. God's delays are not God's denials. This is very important. That's really what Jesus is doing in this story of the raising of Lazarus. God's delays are not his denials. Just because he hasn't done something yet doesn't mean he's not still in charge. Doesn't mean he doesn't still have a plan. He may, in fact, going to be glorified in the future through this very thing that you're going through today that you never wanted and didn't ask for. And how can I say that with such confidence? Because if you look what happens next, everything changes at this point. Up to this point, it's all been downhill. Lazarus has died. Thomas is, you know, he's freaking out. Mary's discouraged. Martha's mad at Jesus, quite frankly. But listen what she says next. In the face of all that, she says, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Think of the faith behind that statement. There is a dead man back there. You should have come before you didn't. I'm kind of upset about it. But I know that even now. Some of you right now, I think you need to have an even now moment with God where you believe that thing that didn't happen, the thing that went wrong, even now, he still can do it. It makes me think back in February of 2018, my mom had a routine procedure. I don't think there's really anything routine at 83. This was actually taken. She had come to visit here just a few months before that. She was doing fine. She went in for a routine procedure. Something went wrong, and she got a hematoma that was so bad it was cutting off her airflow, and then they had to move her, transport her to a hospital in Buffalo, a bigger hospital that could take care of it, and so she was on the ambulance for a long time. She almost died when she got to the hospital. And so they had to do an emergency intubation, and then if you know anything about that, they had to keep her sedated just because the tube is so disoriented. And they figured that this would buy them time for the swelling to go down, and they, on numerous occasions, they tried to take out the tube and see if she could breathe on her own, and she just couldn't. There was too much damage in there, and they can only keep you in this state for so long. They can only take that tube in and out so many times. So they called us in. They said, it's time for a decision. The only thing we can do is give her a tracheostomy and put her on a ventilator. And I remember very clearly the doctor was not very hopeful, and of course anybody in the medical profession, you know, you have to give it to the people straight. And he basically said, and again, remember this is in Buffalo, he said, if she was a linebacker for the Bills, this would be a hard recovery. And here she is, she's been confined to bed now for weeks. We did end up with my mom's, the notes that she was able to write in her lucid moments, that she wanted this procedure, and so she ended up getting a tracheostomy and put on a ventilator, and now she's in ICU for months on a ventilator. And I can remember coming in and praying by her at night, one of these kind of even now moments. I mean, things did not look good. The doctors did not have hope. It really seemed all wrong. But I remember thinking and effectively praying, and I know my mom was, even now you can fix this, God. It looks so, the odds look so low. Well, fast forward, we're 4 years later. My mom has, she did get out of that bed. She did, on a ventilator, she went to a special rehab. She got off the ventilator. She got back home, living in independent living and driving again. So all glory to God on that. I share that to you because even now, even when things look impossible, even when they look like they're too far gone, we serve a God with whom all things are possible. Even now, something that is completely dead, Martha says, resurrection is possible through Jesus Christ. And that is what Jesus did. Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." She's already chalked this death off, and I think most of us would do that. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Friends, he says, I am the resurrection of the life. This is in your notes. I want you to write this down. Resurrection is not an event, it's a person. Resurrection isn't something he does. Resurrection isn't just something that happened to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the resurrection. It is who he is. Dead things don't stay dead when the resurrection walks into the room. And that's what the resurrection Jesus did. He looked at the tomb with the dead man in it, and he said in a loud voice, I don't know, maybe because Lazarus was behind a rock and he's back in there with this cloth around his face. I don't know. But he said it in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I can make up all kinds of reason why he yelled it so everybody would hear. But here's the important part. The dead man came out. His hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Some of you here today are dead in your doubts. You're discouraged. But on this Easter, I want you to know that same voice that told Lazarus to come out is the same voice that is telling you to come out of whatever tomb you're in. It may not be that you're dead in your doubts. You may be dead in your shame. You may be dead in your guilt. You may be dead in your fear. All of these dead ends that we have in our life, these things have all come to the point where we are, it's impossible to us. In walks the resurrection, Jesus, and he calls you to life. And he can do it. What I love about this story, if you think about what happened here, is God must be glorified in this story because it cannot be mistaken who is doing this. See, what I'm getting at is if Jesus had come 4 days earlier when he had kind of gotten the news and he had healed Lazarus, well, then people might have thought, you know, maybe it was Martha's chicken soup, you know. Maybe it was Mary's encouragement and all the friends gathering around. But no, he is dead and gone and buried. Now there is no doubt who did it. And friends, I think we, as a side note, I think we often do that in our own life. We take the credit for things that God is clearly doing. But I love the way he did this in this story because this emphasizes that when all else has failed, when all is hopeless, even when it's dead, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so the question he poses to Martha after he says this, he simply looks at her and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? And this question that he asked Mary is so important that it's recorded in Scripture, but it's also important for you today. Why does it matter if you believe this? Because the resurrection is a person. It's not just something that he does. Notice that Jesus didn't say, everybody will be resurrected. His words are very careful. He says, everyone who lives by believing in me, the resurrection and the life, will live. It's for people who believe this. This good news. That's why I love to be able to stand here and tell you this thing this morning, because dead things don't stay dead in the presence of the resurrection, Jesus. My prayer for you today is that you do believe this. And even more so, you hear him calling you out of whatever dead end that you're in and raising you to life. Amen? Amen. So I would just say, if you're here this morning and you want to know more about having new life in Jesus Christ, if you want to find out more about having baptism, if you haven't been baptized yet, you can mark that on your connection card or send me an email. If you have questions about how exactly does Jesus deal with my sin and bring new life into this dead end that I'm in, go ahead and mark your connection card or send me an email. But I'll also say my elders, I don't know if you want to raise your hand, my elders are here this morning. They're going to be available with you after the service if you're looking for somebody to pray. So just seek out one of the elders that assisted with communion this morning and they can pray with you. So now let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ did not stay dead but was raised to life again. And thank you that because of this, we know that even in our dead ends, in our doubt, our discouragement, our pain, even in those things that we would never ask for, that even now you're working. And through these painful things, you will be glorified. Jesus, may each of us know and believe deeply that you are the resurrection and the life, and that by believing in you, we will live even though we die. We love you. We trust you. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.